I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench, hour two here with Mafia. 844-843-6879 is the number. So let's get into the NBA now, at the very least. The reason I haven't talked about it yet is because I thought that first game sucked so bad that it's like barely worth talking about. That had to be, I don't know, I think it was the worst game I've ever seen in my life. That game was over 5 minutes into the game. And I thought that the performance by the Hornets was so porous that I honestly, they, in my opinion, they have to fire the coach. I don't care who he is. I don't care how much they like him. I don't care how well he's received, how good of a job he's done, how they've improved and whatever else. The bottom line is that they were lucky to even be in the game, like, you know, to be in the play-in to begin with, because they're not that good. And the reality is I thought the Hornets' performance was so bad. It was so pathetic. It was so unbelievable to watch. I have never in my life seen a team in a playoff game. You can call it whatever you want. That's playoff game. A play-in game is a playoff game. It's a one and done. Now, the loser of the 7-8 gets to play the 9-10 winner, and the winner of that game becomes the 8. So you cannot tell me that both games weren't playoff games. One team, the Pacers, had literally no one healthy. The entire team was injured. Literally every single player on the team was injured. Sabonis, all of them. They were all injured. Everyone was injured. They played Brogdon. They played Sabonis, but they played injured. And then LeVert couldn't play at all because he had the health and safety protocols, which in Portuguese spells COVID. He had contact with somebody with COVID, and he's done for whatever it is, 10 to 14 days, something like that. I think it might be, is it 10 or 14 days? I don't know, one or the other. So he's not playing at all. It's 14 days?
It's 10 to 14, depending on, you know, the testing and how you come out of it.
Okay, so for 10 days, he's not doing anything, which means, you understand, they're going to play the winner of, they're going to play, you know, the winner of their game, they were the 9-10, right? So this is the 7-8. So the loser plays of this game, the loser of this game plays them, right? So the Wizards will play the did I get that right, Mafia? The Wizards will play the Pacers, yes, to determine who the 8 is.
Yeah, if Boston holds on to win this, and the Wizards will play the Pacers to see who gets in.
And the Celtics are going to win this game. They're up 12 with 7 minutes to go. They're going to win, and they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets. That's what that means. And the loser of, and the winner of the Wizards Pacer game, the winner of that game plays the Sixers. That's the bottom line. So here's the deal. I thought I've never seen a team in a playoff game. That's what it was. I have never seen a team not show up ever, for like literally not show up at all. Not try, not hustle, not play defense, not do anything. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's for all an adventure. So anyway, here's the deal. The Hornets did not show up for the game. They did not play. They did not try. They did not defend. They did not move the ball, take good shots. They did not run in transition, do anything. They did nothing well, nothing at all. They absolutely did not show up for a playoff game. They did not come to the game ready to play. They did not perform, and they quit. They quit 5 minutes into the game. They quit. At the end of the first, it was they got outscored in the end of the first. Like they gave up 40 points in the first quarter, and McDermott at halftime had 20 points. So all I know is at the end of one, whatever it was 40-24. It was already, the game was over. I mean, and at one point they had so many huge leads, 34-18. I mean, it was embarrassing. I mean, it really was embarrassing. So this guy Borregos, whatever his name is, how do you keep a guy? I don't care what he's done up until this point either. I mean it. How do you keep a guy that doesn't get his team ready for a playoff game? Like, that was the worst effort I've ever seen in my life in an NBA game of any magnitude at all that was considered a playoff game or a postseason game. A play-in game, in Spanish, it's a playoff game. Winner take all, right? Pathetic.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time, and that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming odds
and more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell on Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM Channel 204.
All right, so just let me explain how bad this was. Like, so the Pacers played great, 144-117, they win. Originally, when I did the picks, Mafia, I had the Pacers -3. The line moved all over the place. I ended up flipping to the Hornets. I drank the Kool-Aid, and I thought that they would win the game. And by the end, Sunday I did it and I took the Pacers, and by Monday night I flipped it to the Hornets. So I lost. It is what it is. I'm going to lose this game too. The Wizards, I bet on. So that's fine. I had a bad night in general, but like last night I hit everything, right? I hit all the baseball games, hit all three hockey games, blah, blah, blah. So I have good nights. I have bad nights, but that has neither here nor there when I'm talking about what I saw tonight. What I saw tonight was Sabonis was definitely injured, and he still had 14, 21 rebounds and 9 assists. Almost had the triple-double. Missed it by one dime. But he shot crappy, right? And then they had Brissett had 23 points. I mean, who, Jacoby Brissett? Like, I don't even know who that is. This is how bad it was. O'Shea Brissett from Syracuse. No one even knows who that is, right? One of the Holidays played Justin Holiday. They have Aaron and Justin, the two Holidays that don't matter. No offense. He had 12. McDermott had 21. He had 20 in the first half, had 1 point in the second half. Brogdon was injured. He had 16. Batadze had 14. And people, I have no clue on the face of the earth who that is. He averages 5 points a game, and he had 14 in this game. McConnell averages 8. He had 17, 5-3. And he had all kinds of steals, everything else. Sumner. I'm not talking about Sumner Redstone. I'm talking about Sumner had 7. Aaron Holiday, 2. Keelan Martin, 14. Stanley Decker, he had 4. Like, look, here's my point. They shot 55% from the floor, 45% from downtown. They hit 16 threes. The Hornets were so pathetic. Bridges had 23, Ball 14. I told you on Coast to Coast he would not have a triple-double. That was the big bet. Bet on him with the triple-double, and I said, no way. Ever since he hurt his wrist, he hasn't been having triple-doubles. He's not doing it. He went 14-1-4. Rozier was 7 of 20. He had 16 points. He was terrible. Zeller had 17. No one else did jack. Monk had 13. Here's my point. Borrego, you got to fire. In my opinion, how do you not show up for not only a playoff game, how do you not show up for the last 2 weeks of the season where they never won a game? Mafia, tell everyone what happened to this team down the stretch.
It's just pathetic, you know, and not just even down the stretch. I went looked back even further while you were talking about that. The numbers just get worse and worse, you know, as far back as you look, because they lost their last 5 then this season. We know that. They had that last game against Washington that could have clinched the A seed and been in this game instead of that last one. They lost it. Lost this game, so that's now 6 in a row they lost. 1-7 in the last 8. 2-8 in the last 10. 3-10 in the last 13. In the month of May, they were 3-7. Since April, 9-17. And I know they have injuries. I know, you know, they had problems. So does everybody else. Because like you said, you went through those, you know, the guys that they had burn them tonight. Half those guys were like rookies. You had like 2 or 3 of the best players for Indiana tonight, rookies with no playoff experience, you know, themselves, and yet they lit them up because they came to play, and Charlotte just didn't, and that reflects on the coach.
Yeah, I think what you just said, 9-17 down the stretch.
9-17 since April.
9-17 since April is all you need to know. Lost their last 5, lost tonight, that's 6. Didn't show up for a playoff game, did not play hard, quit. When it was 40-26, they quit. At the end of the first quarter, they quit. And I don't care what anybody says, that team quit on Borrego, and they did not show up for a playoff game. They should be ashamed of themselves. Everyone in Charlotte knows it. Everyone that is a fan of that team knows that. I mean, bottom line, I'm dead right. That's just all there is to it. I, you know, I play ball 7 days a week, and I know a quitter when I see one. And they just quit playing. Mafia and I have been in games where we get blown out, and it sucks. It is what it is, and you just quit. You're just like, I don't even care anymore. You're just like, it's over. We're out. We're down 30. It's over. And it happens, right? It happens. But it doesn't happen in playoff games. I've never quit in a playoff game. We play our ass off in playoff games, Mafia. You know it as well as I do. Everyone plays their ass off when it's a playoff game. It's a different season. It's a different feel. It's a different game. And you play your ultimate everything, all world effort on playoff games. But that team tonight was the biggest bunch of quitter, wussy losers I have ever seen in my life. I have never seen a playoff game performance worse than what I saw tonight by the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, that was pathetic. If you keep a coach that was in charge of that, you deserve everything you get moving forward, which is they're never going anywhere, ever. Even with LaMelo Ball, even with Hayward, with whatever Bridges, whatever they got, they're a bunch of hacks. All I know is they're a bunch of quitters. That's it. Quitters. Monk, all of them. Quitters. Absolute quitters. Washington, trash. Garbage. Landfill garbage. Mafia, you cannot argue. That was the worst effort ever. Now, both teams, Indiana and the Celtics, are both going to win tonight. Both home teams are going to win tonight. So does that mean that we're going to see the same thing tomorrow night, Memphis and the Lakers? Because, I mean, the Wizards were up by a bucket at the half, and they got their ass beat by the Celtics. And the Celtics have Tatum and Walker, and I'll give you a smart Fournier. I'm not afraid of Fournier. I think their team sucks. I really do. I don't think the Celtics are anything. I think the Nets are going to kill them. And that's all there is to it. And they still kicked the Wizards' ass with Westbrook and an injured Bradley Beal. So the Beal thing caught up with him. He didn't. He did nothing tonight. He's not even playing. So all I know is they got their ass beat. And the funny thing is the Celtics are celebrating like they did something. Like, they're so funny to me. Like, congratulations, you won a playoff play-in game. But you're the 7 seed in the East. You're pathetic is what you are. And so you can celebrate all you want. You're about to get your ass handed to you. So enjoy this game against these hacks that you won tonight against. Congratulations. Good for you. But I got to tell you, if I own the Charlotte Hornets, I'm firing Borrego tonight. What I saw tonight from them was so unacceptable. If I owned that team, I'd be like, bro, what in God's name did you do to get this team ready for this game besides nothing? So if you went 9-17 down the stretch and then you don't show up for a playoff game, you quit after the first quarter. I mean, they didn't even quit at the end of the first quarter. They quit 5 minutes into the game. They were getting rubbed out. Absolutely rubbed out. And they never tried the rest of the night.
Teams the whole way. They lost to the Bulls and the Pelicans on the way down. By 21, they lost to the Bulls.
So do you fire him? Do you fire him?
Absolutely.
I mean, Mafia and I are on the same page on this one. You cannot leave a coach in place. I don't care how good he is, talented, up and coming, all the rest. You cannot leave a coach in place that had his team play that badly down the stretch and then not show up for a playoff game. It's his fault.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, so, it's hard for me to keep talking about this Charlotte team. As I'm watching this great hockey game, the Wild and the Knights in Vegas, game two. Remember, the Wild upset the Knights in game one in Vegas, 1-0, in a great goalie battle. And they beat Fleury, who was brilliant, right? Unless I'm mistaken. It wasn't game one. Was it Fleury or did they play Leonard? Mafia, do you know?
I think it was Fleury, but I'm going to double check to make sure.
All right, so anyway, tonight they're playing Fleury, and he's been brilliant. I could have sworn it was Fleury, but anyway. But they share. They play both of them, Leonard and Fleury. It was Fleury. So he was brilliant in game one, and he gave up one goal in wasn't it in overtime, right? Is that what they lost to him in overtime?
Yeah, it was overtime, and he was even the second star in the losing effort. That shows you how good he played.
So he was so good that they started him again tonight, and it's a scoreless game again. So the goalies have been brilliant, and It's got to be scary, Mafia, as all hell to play in a game like this, because their one mistake, one deflection, one bounce, one knuckleball, one, you know, bounce off a skate or off a elbow or anything, you know, off a deflection, a tip, anything, a screen, you know, a blind shot. They're one mistake away from going down 2-0 to the Wild. And then having to go to the XL in Minneapolis, where the Wild had one of the best home records in the NHL, if not the best. I don't have time to sit here and look at all their numbers. All I know is, you know as well as I do, Mafia, they have one of the best home records in the league, if not the best. And they, I used to always say on Coast to Coast and Front on the Bench, the Wild are really good at home. And then on the road, that's why they're not one of the best teams in the league, because they're average. They're average on the road, and they're great at home. So they're a good team. They were a number three team in that division, but they don't matter because they don't win enough on the road. And here they are, winning on the road in game one in overtime, and here they are scoreless in game two, and there's 9 minutes left in the second period, and Vegas has played over, you know, 80 minutes, now 95 minutes of hockey in two games with no goals. And you're talking about one of the most explosive teams in the league, if not the most explosive. I think Colorado and Vegas are, without a doubt, top five most explosive teams in the league. I'd be willing to say 1 and 2. I'd be willing to say 1 and 2, with Tampa being three, top three. And I still have to put Tampa on the top of the heap because they're the Stanley Cup champs. And they, you know, won it last year, and they're still kings of the castle, and they're up 2-0 on Florida, and they look every bit like defending Stanley Cup champs. So there's no way I'm just pushing Vegas to the top of the heap or Colorado to the top of the heap when neither one of them played for the Cup last year. Right? So
right.
It is what it is. And Dallas played for the Cup, and we saw what happened to them this year. They went down in a hole. So all I know is, I think Colorado and Vegas are the three most exciting teams in the league. And I won't deny the success of, you know, the Penguins in the East. They won the East, but their goaltending is sketchy at best. And then the Leafs won the North, and they haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1967. So we already know what happens to them in the postseason. I won't be surprised if they lay an egg in game one against Montreal. Now, they should win. They kicked their ass all year, and they're the best team in that division, but that doesn't mean anything in the playoffs because they always lose. I mean, they always lose. That's just all there is to it. Here's another one. The Penguins always lose to the Islanders. Always. In the playoffs, in their history, they're 1-4 against the Islanders in the five playoff series that they played them. That's terrible. So I can't even believe they won tonight 2-1. They were up 2-0, and I thought that game was slipping through their fingers as sure as I was sitting here. But I am concerned if I'm Fleury, and you know, I'm the Vegas Golden Knights, and here I am with, you know, 9 minutes left in the second period of game two, and they still haven't scored a goal in the series. Are you kidding me? Now, honestly, Mafia, if they go another game without a goal, if they lose this game, let's say 1-0 again, because it's scoreless right now, anything could happen. If they lose this, now they could score 4 goals and win 4-1. Who knows? But right now it's scoreless in the second game. And the first game they lost 1-0 in overtime. If they don't score a goal for 120 minutes in the playoffs on our home ice, they're in big trouble. I mean, serious big trouble in this series.
Don't yeah, absolutely. Off. Without a doubt. I mean, like you said, I mean, they've had the same amount. They actually have the same home record as Minnesota. So now, obviously, you're going to Minnesota. You can think, okay, well, we're just as good as them if you want. But the thing, too, is not only that they're going to be losing if they lose this game in the down 2-0 and you're going home to a team that plays great at home, but they've had success against you all year. So you're already in their heads now that you now have this two-game lead and you've beaten them during the regular season. So it's not like this is just a fluke for them. And look at the shots, 25-14. It's not even that you're getting great chances and you're getting stoned and stopped on everything. They're smothering you defensively. You're not even getting the opportunities you usually get. Look at the play that we've been watching. Every time they get in the zone, all of a sudden there's a stick knocking the puck off their stick and it's out of the zone. They got to regroup and try to come back in. Or they're going to the neutral zone. They're getting hit and they can't get the dump in. They're just all over them no matter where they have the puck. Minnesota is all over them, smothering them every opportunity, not even letting them get the shots and opportunities to score right now while putting the puck on the other end on Fleury.
So, and do you realize who they're playing against in this game? Unless I'm mistaken, is that not Talbot in goal for Minnesota?
Yeah, he was in goal in game one too.
I mean, are you kidding me? They can't solve Talbot? I mean, honestly, like, something's in the water. It makes no sense. Well, you and I have seen Talbot's act before. They scored. Minnesota goes up 1-0. Here, there it is. There's the goal right there. And the Wild have the lead again in Sin City. What a Dumba. Dumba the elephant with a goal. Wasn't that Dumbo? Dumba the elephant with a goal, Mafia, from the point. Unbelievable. From the right point. It may have got deflected in front by Foligno, but Dumba shot it. I got to see if anyone hit that. I don't think anyone hit it at all. That's a Dumba goal. I mean, this is unbelievable. Can you even fathom what we're watching right here? This is what's so great about the Stanley Cup playoffs. You have no clue every night what you're about to get in bed with. You have no idea what's going to happen to you in the NHL playoffs. The greatest team in the world. Oh, and Vegas scores. Marcius Show right off of the draw. Right off of the draw. They tie it. Unbelievable. I'm losing weight over here, Mafia. Talbot gets burned. Marcius Show off the faceoff with a wrister. And it's right off of the draw. They come in right from the right circle, a snapper, a wrister. Riley gave it to him and he snapped it in from the right circle. Marchessault in a double. He had two guys on him, got the shot off and scored. And there's their first goal in the series. So we're back to scratch. Now, if you're Minnesota, you just gotta feel like crap. That you just had a Dumba goal, 1-0 lead on the road in game two. You already won game one in overtime. You go out one zip here in the second with 7 minutes left, and then you give up that cheap one right after you get the lead. Mafia, that's got to sting. I mean, that's really got to sting. Although it's still it's a scoreless game now. Same thing it was 2 minutes ago.
Right. Not a great, possession, great shot. A lot of turnovers in the neutral zone for Minnesota. And then Vegas just makes him pay for it with a shot over the shoulder there. Talbot, I guess, didn't have the right angle on it. Good shot by Marshall. So, but like you said, they've been doing their thing the whole game. They're not worried about it, I don't think, because they know. Just go back to your game, just like they did with that goal. It's not about them making the big, fancy, quick rush like you just had Vegas make. Them is the grinding, just work you, wear you down, then you get the goal. That's how they got that goal. It was just all grinding, cycling in the zone, just being body on body against Vegas. Eventually, they get the wide open shot and it goes in.
Yeah, if I'm Talbot, I'm bumming out about that one. He's got to make that save. You cannot let that guy skate in over the blue line and get off a wrister from the right circle without anybody hitting him. He just got untouched and he had two guys on him and he split them. He split both of them like uprights with a wrister. And burn Talbot, and that made it 1-1. So, boy, did Vegas need that goal. I'll tell you what. Dumba for Minnesota and Marchessault for Vegas.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
All right, Ferrell on the Bench. So anyway, today on Coast to Coast, I said that the only way the Celtics win that game tonight against the Wizards is if Tatum has 45. That's what I said right on TV tonight. He had 50, and they kicked the Wizards' ass. So Washington now will play the Pacers for the 8 spot because Boston just won the 7 spot and the privilege of playing the Nets. So the Nets are the 2. Boston's the 7. Nets have home court. It is what it is. Now, I'll tell you this much. The Nets don't play defense any more than the Wizards do. So if Tatum's going to score 40 to 50 points every night, they'll be in games. Because the Nets simply do not play defense. I don't care what anybody says. Every night they play, they outscore their opponents. They win. I won't deny that. But all the games are wild. Mafia, you know that's true. Every game they play almost is wild because they let the other team do whatever they want. And then they just outscore them. So, you know, they win by 7, 8, 5, 4, whatever. But they mess around with everyone they play because they don't play defense. You know it's true.
It is true. You're absolutely right. I mean, KD can if he wants to, but we haven't seen that from him yet this year. We saw that, you know, at times when he was playing both in Oklahoma City and Golden State with that length, that athleticism. He can guard anybody, and he can try to shut you down, but since he came to Brooklyn, obviously with how little he's played, he hasn't seemed to be that guy. He doesn't want to be that guy. He's just going to go do his thing and try to score. But the thing for the Nets is, you know, if they don't play defense, you can worry a lot less. Because even if you're going to let a guy like Tatum go off, your stars aren't going 6 for 18 to 10 to 25. You know, KD and Harden and Kyrie are not shooting like that in a game. So you can let him score all he wants. He can score, you know, 118 with the Celtics, you know, as a team. You're going to put up 130. So good luck.
So anyway, did you see Cole elbow Carrier in the face on that in the corner there for Minnesota? He's in the penalty box now. He elbowed Carrier right in the mouth. I mean, just dirty as all hell, and a gigantic scrum broke out. So Vegas is going on the power play. I mean, he elbowed him right in the nose, right in the chops.
Oh yeah.
And now,
so now you want to come hit me? This is what you're going to come into.
Did you see that elbow? That was beautiful because he pretended like he was like digging in the corner. Meanwhile, the whole time he planned it, he just plotted to drop that elbow bomb right in his nose. He just came up, whap, and nailed him. And it was so obvious. And he tried to play like he didn't mean to do it. And it was so terrible. His like trying to like be deceiving. It was so obvious that it was a cheap shot. And now he's in the box. So Vegas has a chance to take the lead here with the power play. But so far, it's been, you know, game one, Minnesota wins in overtime, one zip, right? Now they were up one zip on the Dumba goal, and then 10 seconds later, whatever, Marchessault scored to make it 1-1. That's where they are now, and they're on a power play. So bottom line is they've never led in the series. The Vegas Golden Knights have never led in this series, and that's truly amazing to me. So my buddies at the game, and he sent me a picture of him like wearing like bizarre like jerseys, and like they had like, I don't know, some kind of sponge hats on or something, like some kind of battle hats, like, you know, Golden Knights, like warrior type, like, you know, battalion helmets or something. Like they were out, you know, you were at the game with me. Remember how they have that whole desert thing? Like they're in the army or something. They're like a giant battalion, right? That they try to play like they're, you know, warriors and knights, and they're out cutting people and killing people and stabbing people, like in whatever that HBO show was. What was it called?
Game of Thrones.
They act like they're Game of Thrones, right? So my buddy's at the game wearing like some kind of foam head, like helmet with a knife and everything. And I'm just like, you're a dork. He sent me a picture of himself with some chick at the game, and they're wearing all this stuff. And I'm like, you're a dork. I do not know you. Do not pretend like we're friends. Don't tell anyone you know me. I don't wear costumes to the games ever, to anything, ever. I don't know. Mafia, do you wear costumes to games? Do you like get dressed up like you're, it's Halloween, no, and you go to the game like you're like in a bad sports TV commercial? Like, have you ever seen the guy, we go blue, we got this, yeah. And he's got his face painted. Meanwhile, he's driving by like a high school field and there's no game at all. It's all a fake commercial. Oh, and Vegas takes the lead on the power play goal. Alex Tuch gets the goal. It's 2-1. They get their first lead in the series. They score to take their first lead of the series. I think it was after the power play.
It was. It was after the power play. Just expired, and then they went on the rush.
Yeah, it was on a rush. Tuck got a loose change in front in the crease on a rebound and stuffed it in. And if that arena's not full, I don't know what is. That arena's full. You can't deny that, right? That looks like a sellout to me. I know they'll tell you that they're 50% capacity or whatever, but it looks full to me. I mean, they have people all the way up in the rafters to the last row, so I don't know what they're doing, but that arena looks full to me. You see how they have a lot of the seats covered, so it's not like we're supposed to believe it's not full, but that looks like to me to be like about 75% full at least. That's that arena tonight, T-Mobile. By the way, it is the best arena experience in the NHL, bar none, or UFC, fights, boxing, concerts. It is the best arena in America, bar none. I've been to all of them, and that's the best one of any arena that I've been to ever. Mafia, you've been there. What do you think? Is that not the best arena you've been in ever?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Vegas knows what they're doing with everything. With fight, like you said, fights, games. They're always, you know, there for the show and putting things on and getting people crazy. And the fans have bought into it. You know, this isn't one of these things where, you know, they kind of fake it in the first year. They're into it and then they kind of fade away. These fans have been nuts since day one and they've stuck with them. I mean, obviously it helps that they've GERD every year so far. You haven't had lean years. We'll see what they deal with and how they are after that. But, I mean, it is a rocking experience. And, of course, I know you especially, having gone to the press boxes of many arenas, are always game for a place that has, you know, popcorn and candy and pretty much everything that you can want. It's like a, you know, a little kid's dream, you know, diet there up in the press box for the Golden Knights arena. So it's an awesome place. I mean, that's a rocking place. I mean, just like you see with all these fights, now they're putting them in some of these big stadiums. But before that, it was, where do you want to go? You want to fight in Vegas or New York? And that's where the biggest places for these arenas are right now for game experiences.
It's Willy Wonka at the Knights games up in the press box with all the chocolate and everything they got going there. It's just a party. So anyway, today I said that the way the Celtics win is if Tatum has 45, he had 50. He had 50 in that win over the Wizards tonight. I guess all that's left to say is not, you know, congratulations. The reality is the Pacers play the Wizards for the last spot in the East and the right to lose to the Sixers, because whoever wins that game between the Pacers and Wizards, they're going to lose to the Sixers. You know that, right?
So much for that defense that Beal was talking about them finally playing.
Yeah, like he even kind of said it himself, didn't he? He said, like, it's kind of crazy, but we're actually going to have to, like, play defense for once.
Right, you have one guy on that team you have to worry about, and they did nothing to stop him at all.
Nothing. And tonight, again, they played no defense again. I mean, how are you up 54-52 at the half and you give up a buck something? I mean, they beat them 118-100, something like that. They beat them by 18. They blew them out. They blew them out. And they were losing at the half. The Wizards were up at the half, bottom line, and they lost 118-100. So now they have to play Pacers, Wizards, right? So, that game is, I think, Thursday night. And then the West final game will be Friday night, and then the actual playoffs start Saturday and Sunday. So the play-ins are all about, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, Sunday is the actual playoffs. So there you go. Friday night, or did I get that right? Thursday night, you're going to have the Pacers and Wizards in D.C. for the right to play the Sixers as the 8 against the 1. There you go. Now, tomorrow, you're going to have the Lakers and Warriors, who seldom come out to play. Yay! And by the way, Smith set up that Marchessault goal that gave him the tie. And then Tuck had the go-ahead goal on the doorstep. And they're getting outshot by Minnesota 27-23. There's 13 seconds left in the period. But Vegas will go to the third, a lot like the Penguins, with a home 2-1 lead over Minnesota. The Wild are down a goal going to the third. That's the end of the period. Fleury makes a toe jam save at the end. 2-1 Vegas. So anyway, Tatum has 50 tonight. You cannot tell me. He carried him by himself, obviously. And now they're going to play the Nets. Now, just let me look, because it's I'm sure it's the same old story as always. 50 for him. But Walker had 29, so he had a really good game. And Thompson had 12 and 12, the double-double. Nobody else did jack. It was literally a two-man show tonight, per usual. I'm telling you, though, two-man show against the Nets ain't going to cut it. But the Nets don't play any defense either, so I'm sure the Celtics will be in every game. They'll be in every game. I don't think the Nets blow them out based on their lack of any kind of defense. They talk big all the time, Kyrie, Durant, Harden, and Nash, about how they're playing defense. But all you need to know is, look at his assistants. D'Antoni's never coached defense a day in his life. And I know people say that's not true, and people are wrong. D'Antoni's never coached defense. It's always been run and gun, and light it up, outscore your opponent, game over. And that's what the Nets do. They outscore everybody, and they don't play any defense. So I'm sure it'll be a great series. I don't think they're going to blow them out because of their lack of defense. It's that simple. So we'll find out, right? And there you go. I think they start on Saturday. Am I wrong? The Nets, and then Sunday, I think, is the Knicks. Anyway, I could be wrong. But I know Saturday and Sunday they play. That's when all the playoff games are. So it is what it is. We'll see what happens. As far as anything else goes, I got baseball, Mafia. I still haven't talked about that. I know the Yankees won tonight 7-4 in Texas, so they finally beat the Rangers. But there's a lot of games going on. The Dodgers lead the Diamondbacks in the 6th, 3-1. The Angels and Indians are 5-5 in the bottom of the 7th in Anaheim. Astros are up 5-3 on the A's in the bottom of the 7th. Rockies and Padres are 1-1 in the 5th. Tigers lead the Mariners 2-0 in the 6th. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, so Benintendi, single in the 8th, sends Kansas City to a 2-0 win over the Brewers. The Cubs beat the Nationals again. Happ with a home run. 6-3 was the final at Wrigley. The Twins beat the White Sox. I can't even fathom that. Sano homers 3 times. Mets win again over the Braves, 4-3. The Rays hit, I think, 5 home runs. They beat the Orioles 13-6. Phillies 8-3 over the Marlins. They rally with 7 runs in the 8th inning to win that game. The Giants doubled up the Reds 4-2. De Sclafani, sharp in his return to Cincinnati, gave up 1 run over 7 innings. Alex Dickerson hit a 3-run homer. Giants win again. That's all they do. LeMahieu had 3 RBIs in the Yankees 7-4 win over Texas. Cardinals beat the Pirates. Same old story. Arenado hit a 2-run home run, his 4th in 4 games, 5-2 the final. Blue Jays 8-0 over the Red Sox. Ryu, 7 masterful innings. And Danny Jansen played a key offensive role. The Jays beat the Red Sox 8-0 tonight in Dunedin. And as I said, Tigers up 2-0 on the Mariners. Rockies, Padres 1-1 in the bottom of the fifth. Runner on second with 2 outs for the Padres. Astros up 5-3 on the A's. Runners on first and second, 1 out, bottom 7. 5-all Indians, Angels in the top of the 8th. Dodgers 3-1, bottom 6 at home against the Diamondbacks. LA's up there. Going to the 3rd, Vegas leads Minnesota 2-1 in game 2. Of course, Wild won game 1 in overtime. Vegas trying to even up the series. Penguins evened up the Islanders tonight with a 2-1 win. And the Lightning are up 2-0 on the Panthers with a 3-1 win, headed home to Tampa. The Celtics win. The Pacers win. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. East on Coast to Coast. Good night.
Save big money at Menards and stock up on your favorite Procter & Gamble products. We carry quality products from brands you can trust, like Dawn, Tide, Bounty, and more. Keep your home clean and stocked with essentials like paper towels, toilet paper, dish soap, and more. Save big money on Procter & Gamble products now through February 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save.